The title of our lesson this evening is The Committed Christian. And I know probably what you're thinking right now. You're probably thinking, I'm looking at one that needs to be committed. Go ahead, you know you are. But we're not talking about that kind of being committed. We're talking about a commitment in our life. The commitment to Christianity. This morning we talked about attendance and commitment. Commitment and attendance. Tonight we want to take a little bit different angle and talk about us on an individual basis. In Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, reading through verse 31, it says that one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, saying, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." You know, when we talk about prioritizing, we of necessity must talk about being committed. Without being genuinely committed, I don't think we're ever going to really see the need to prioritize so that we can accomplish the things that we're looking to accomplish our objectives. And when we talk about prioritizing, you can think about a lot of different examples in the world. You know, just one that comes to mind is sometimes it becomes necessary for CEOs and CFOs of big companies to prioritize due to business situations. They have to understand that maybe certain practices that were taking place can't take place anymore. Maybe it's the case that they need to pass these things down right down to the lowest possible level. Sometimes luxurious, if you will, expenditures, certain perks that come with certain jobs may have to be cut out. Streamlining a company so that people can maintain their jobs becomes imperative. Surprisingly, though, when you stop and think about it, and you really dig into it, words like priority, prioritize, and priorities are not even found in the Bible. But there is the principle found when you look at the definition of these words. The word priority means the condition of being prior in precedence, in time, in order, and in importance. The word prioritize is the act of placing in order by rank of order, by rank of value, by rank of importance. Simply put, how would we say today? Put first things first. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about here? When this man comes to him, he asks him a simple question, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the first or foremost commandment? And Jesus responds to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all your heart. He says, here's your priorities. This is what's first. Now, it's not hard for us, I don't think, to see the need to prioritize in everyday life. We get that, don't we? We realize that certain things come before others. We need to make sure that we have the money to provide for food, for clothing, for housing, for transportation, things of that nature, prior to trivial things that you might think about like recreation. Certain tasks on our jobs must always take precedence over what we might think of as menial tasks or the trivial tasks. When we get an assemble it yourself project, if you've ever had one of those, we realize that we need to start with step one and then proceed accordingly. Many years ago, I remember getting one of these things together, and it was a build it yourself kit. It was one of those deals. And I began to work on this, and I was actually following directions. My problem is I accidentally skipped a step. And then when I got to the very end of it, I'm going, now how does that piece go in there? How am I going to get that piece to work in there? So I kind of started backing up, and I read back, and I read back, and I found where I had skipped a step. Prioritizing. It had to have first things first. It had to have that which started the project to be that which started the project, and the last step to be the last step. I had to dismantle all the way back to that one step that I missed, put that part in, and then rebuild from there. But as much as we see that in our everyday life, and we certainly do, the need to prioritize, we need to take a look at this principle as being taught in the Scriptures too. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, Jesus was giving his disciples some instructions about their gifts that they were bringing to the altar. And notice what he says. First, he says, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. He says, if there was aught between you and your brother, if there's a problem there, before you come to the altar with your gift, and remember this was Old Testament times, he said, fix the problem first. That was number one. Fix that problem. Be reconciled. Then come and offer your gift. That's when it's going to be accepted. We understand this principle is so clearly taught in Matthew 6 and verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What had preceded all that? About things of this world. Things that everyday life transpires in life. And Jesus said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these other things will come to you. Paul wrote about it. In Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2, he says, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. In other words, prioritize. Put the things in heaven, put the spiritual things above and beyond that which this earth has to offer. If you go back to Old Testament times, remember Joshua at the very end of the book of Joshua in chapter 24? He had given them options. He says, you can worship the gods of your fathers, the one back in the day, and all of this kind of stuff. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He prioritized. He says, all these things you can follow if you want, but my family is going to put first things first, and we are going to worship the Lord God. In the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, James tells us there that we should consult God first before we start making all of our plans. Sometimes we get that backwards. But notice what James says here, beginning in verse 13 of chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Because James says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Now listen to verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Our first and foremost thing on that priority list is to consult God before we decide this is what I'm going to do. Maybe we ought to spend a little bit of time in prayer before we make a decision that is going to have tremendous impact on our lives. positively or negatively. With that as our background, let's look at a few points. Number one, the Lord demands that we live prioritized lives. He demands that we prioritize our lives. If you look in the book of Matthew 19, Mark chapter 10, and Luke chapter 18, we read the parable there of the rich young ruler. And while we're not going to spend a lot of time right now on the overall parable, remember what transpired there. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, "What good thing shall I do that I may inherit or have eternal life?" We'll give the credit where credit is due. This young ruler was at least thinking about eternal life. He was at least with the mindset that there was something beyond this life, and he wanted to have that eternal life. So what can I do? And remember the story there that Jesus elaborates on some of the points of the law of Moses. He doesn't give the whole thing. And the young man responds by saying, "All of these things I have kept from my youth up. What do I lack?" He was evidently trying to do what was right, wasn't he? And Jesus responded by simply saying, "Go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Jesus was telling him, you need to prioritize. Jesus knew of this young man's wealth. I'm going to suggest to you that he knew the heart of this young man, and he knew exactly what that young man needed to do. I'm going to suggest to you that our Lord understood that he had put such a high priority on his physical things that Jesus had to tell him for him to understand what his responsibility was and how to prioritize. Is you're going to have to give up your physical earthly wealth in order to see eternal life, in order to receive that treasure that's laid up for you in heaven. But remember the rest of the story? The rich young ruler went away sorrowful. He was saddened by it. This young man's priorities were backwards. To him, the physical was first in his life, and the spiritual came afterwards. He lacked the priorities necessary to be a disciple of the Lord. He was missing out on that critical aspect of his life. Now, if you would, you might want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 39. In Matthew 10, 34 through 39, Jesus gives us a great picture here of what it means to prioritize. And he really sums things up so beautifully. He says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." You know what he was telling his disciples here? You know what he is telling us by extension through the word here? Is that it is our responsibility to prioritize our lives. Sometimes being a Christian is going to cost us something. Sometimes being faithful to God may cause us to be at a distance or at odds with a family member. But Jesus says, just the same, that's our responsibility. Number two, prioritizing demands personal responsibility. That means every morning when I get up, I have to look at the person in the mirror. And I have to say, it's up to that person. If I'm going to have the proper priorities in life, if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, that's up to me. And I think we see that that is true from Old Testament times right up through the writing of the Bible right up to today. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 16 tells us there that the father shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. Now, what's being told us here is that a father, it does not bear the iniquity of the son. Neither does the son bear the iniquity of the father. Does that sound familiar? Sure it does. Ezekiel 18, 20 and 21 tells us that. The soul that sins, it shall die. In other words, it's personal responsibility. I'm not going to go to heaven or I'm not going to go to hell based upon something that my grandparents did or didn't do, or that my parents did or didn't do, or that my children do or don't do. It goes back to that looking in the mirror, doesn't it? I have to prioritize, and it's a personal thing. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 12, it says, if you are wise, you're wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Coming up to the New Testament age, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that which we have done, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Did you notice some key things there? We will appear, we must all, that is individually, appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body. It's up to me. Each one of these passages that we've talked about here, and we could go back to many more, go back to Job 19, others that we could think about, speak of personal responsibility. I alone will bear the responsibility of properly prioritizing my life for the cause of Christ, putting first things first and making that a commitment is up to me personally. Number three, God won't accept your excuses. Excuses have never worked with God, and they're not going to work today. Jeremiah. I mean, we recognize Jeremiah as being one of the great prophets, that great and lengthy letter that he wrote, that he penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, tried to excuse himself. He said, then I said, oh, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Jeremiah tried to make the excuse, I'm not old enough to carry your word out. But God told him, do not say that I am a youth. For you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Did God accept his excuse? No, he did not. Remember Moses? Trying to excuse himself in delivering the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage to Pharaoh? In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Very next chapter over, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Neither time did God accept his excuse. Go back to Exodus chapter 3 and look at verse 12. I certainly will be with you. In other words, don't tell me that you can't do it. Don't bring up this excuse, I'm not the right one to go to Pharaoh. I'm not the one to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Because God said, I will certainly be with you. And when he said, oh, my Lord, I'm not an eloquent person. I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. Oh, you got the wrong person here. God said in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 12, I will be with you in your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And if you remember correctly, ultimately, he gave him Aaron as well. He didn't accept excuses. In Judges chapter 6, we read about Gideon and how he tried to respond back to God, to get out of prioritizing and committing himself to God. He says, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Boy, I tell you what, God, you picked the wrong person here. My clan, my family, is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm just puny. I'm the smallest one. I'm the least in my father's house. You've got the wrong guy here, God. And to this, God responds to Gideon, I will surely be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Judges 6, 15 and 16. He didn't accept an excuse, did he? Go back to the rich young ruler. The price of commitment was too costly for him. But I'm going to suggest to you that just because he went away sorrowful, the Lord didn't say, oh, well, never mind, you don't have to do that after all. Didn't accept excuses. Folks, Jesus had his priorities in order. Jesus committed his body and his blood to us, for us. Go all the way back to Luke chapter 2. Remember this? At the age of 12, Jesus had already set his priorities in order. He was already committed. When he said, I must be about my Father's business at age 12. Remember at Gethsemane where Jesus prayed three times? If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But he had his priorities set, didn't he? Nevertheless, he says, not my will, but yours be done. He said, Father, if it's possible, if there's any way, Father, that I don't have to go through this, the agony of the cross, the agony of the spiritual agony of bearing the sins of humanity on my shoulders for something I didn't do, to be rejected by you. My God, why have you forsaken me? He knew what was coming down the line. But he still said, not my will be done, but yours. In Luke chapter 14, 15 through 20, we read the story of three men who were called on to commit their lives to Christ. And each one of them had an excuse. One of them said, well, I've bought some land I've got to go look at. You mean you bought your land without even looking at it? You don't know what you've got? It was an excuse not to prioritize. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to test them. I need to prove them. You mean to tell me you looked at those 5 oxen there that you bought and you couldn't tell that they could get the job done? And then, of course, the third one, I've just been married. Folks, their priorities were wrong. Prioritizing means that we are going to be committed. And we're going to be committed to, number one, we're going to be committed to God. Go back to, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Prioritizing means that we are going to be committed to the truth. Remember in John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have to be committed to the truth. We have to be committed to our fellow man, don't we? Yes, we're to love our neighbors even as we love ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, whatever you would that men should do to you, do even also to them, the golden rule. We have to be committed to our fellow man and love them. Prioritizing means that we're going to be committed to all that is good, not just the things that we like, but everything that's good. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Their purity in heart means that they're going to be searching for that which is good. They're going to be committed to that which is good. Now, I don't think you could leave out Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. We're going to be committed to that. And folks, we're going to be committed to lost souls as well. That means prioritizing. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, when Jesus saw the multitudes, it says that he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Do we have that same kind of compassion for the lost souls of today? Luke chapter 9 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. Are we that interested? That's what Jesus' whole point was, is to offer a way for the lost to be saved, to seek and save. Today, as much as probably any time in history, I think the church needs those who will prioritize and truly commit themselves to the Lord in this church. Commitment is great, and it's needed. But if we're going to be what we should be, if we're really ever going to be committed to the cause of Christ, we need to learn how to prioritize and put first things first in this life. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, and you know what you need to do to be saved, we ask a simple question, why not tonight? Why not make that decision to become a child of God and commit your life to the only one who can save your soul eternally? Maybe it's a case that you're a child of God and you need to come back to God. You need to come back to God on His terms. We ask a simple question, why not tonight? Because there's no other one that we can put our faith and trust in like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But whatever your need may be, if we can help, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?